Free Talk Live, where we kick off Hour 3, the Wednesday edition. It's Ian here with you.
And Melissa.
And Mark. Toll-free number for you, 1-800-259-9231. Take control of the airwaves. Again, that's 800-259-9231. And, of course, you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything on the site is totally free. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. Jumping into the calls here, let's talk to Paul in Maryland. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Melissa, and Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great, Paul. What's up?
I wanted to comment on hoarding real quick. The you said that you couldn't understand how people could find certain things.
Yeah, if you've got a house, we were talking about this at the end of the last hour in case you're just tuning in. If you've got a house that is so packed full of crap, and I mean just crap, I mean in some cases just empty boxes, old beer cans, just packed, stacked from floor to ceiling to the point where, in this one guy's case, there were 15-inch wide paths winding through his home. That was how you got around. How could you possibly find stuff in that?
Well, I believe that they find it because I'm somewhat of a hoard myself because it's all due with association. When they see they put it in a box, they associate the item with the other stuff around. I'm not an extremist when it comes to it.
Okay.
But there is certain things that I just wanted to comment that I believe it's associations. They actually take a mental picture of where it's at. So if it's moved, they're completely lost.
But I see where you're coming from, and I could understand it if it was in a room to where you could access the entire room. But for instance, one of my friends had parents that sort of had a hoarding room. They didn't really hoard throughout the entire house. They just sort of had one room where they just dumped stuff
into. The junk room.
I have that room.
Right. And you could not get from one end of the room to the other end. There was a small path that led from one door to another, and then there was 10 feet of just stuff. And I could understand that if you put something down, then you could remember where it was, but in this case, you couldn't possibly see everything in the room to even begin to remember what is even contained in there. And there were thousands and thousands of different items. Are you telling me that in a room like that you could still remember where something was, even if it was covered up by layers and layers of other stuff?
Well, yeah, I'm not asking you to believe it, but yes, because
wow.
What I believe is that the person has taken over. See, I'm very organized. I need to be able to see it.
Yeah.
So they've taken laziness over organization, and then to compensate for that, they take a mental note.
Wow. And so maybe it is what we were talking about. You said like the Rain Man kind of hoarder idea, right?
Right.
What did you call it?
Hoarder savant.
Hoarder savant.
Okay. Nick, I wanted to comment on something that on your August 24th show. Remember the cop that lied to do the search on the home for the drugs?
Yeah, that's right.
He
came to the house. He was going to search for drugs, but he said, you know, I want to come in here and I want to look around for evidence of a girl that was assaulted or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Correct.
Right.
Now, what I believe the problem is that everybody needs to already have the intention that the police are going to lie to him, because even if the police are not lying intentionally, they may not be given the correct information. They may be making it up, or you know how somebody doesn't have the answer, they don't go, well, look, let me get back to you because I don't have the answer, let me get you the right answer. They just come up with an answer.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to believe that they're lying to you, but the answer to what I think can correct this is that we as citizens, especially in traffic stops and home evasions,
yeah,
is that we have to stop voluntarily allowing them to search. Because
absolutely.
Because if we all keep allowing the volunteering for the searches, it's just going to become the norm like it has today.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of pushed into us. It's impressed into us by the media and popular culture. Shows like Cops, for instance, which obviously take a pro-police sort of a stand, every time that they pull somebody over on that show, I mean, they always show you when they say, oh, sure, officer, you can search my car. So you sort of get the idea that this is something that you do with the police. When the cops ask if you can search, you say yes. I mean, they don't instruct you. They don't give you the truth. They don't say, well, citizens, did you know that you could say no to a search? No, they just show everyone saying yes. So it's really just been bred in at this point, and it's hard to fight. But I agree with you completely. Stop consenting to searches. Even if you don't have anything to hide, stop it.
Especially.
Because you ruin it for everybody else's rights if you keep doing that, because the police officers think that they can keep doing it.
You're also going to just ruin your day, because if you get pulled over on the side of the road and you let the cops search your car, they never put it back together. I've never heard of one case, never, where any cop has actually taken the time to restructure the car the way he found it. Heck no. They throw stuff out of the trunk, throw it on the ground, and leave it, that you know, tear up your seats and leave it there, and then you have to put everything back in together. You have to put everything back the way it was.
But
so you just talk about a ruined day. There you go.
Haven't we discussed this before, though, where we have stated clearly that once you agree to accepting a driver's license, that you're also agreeing to be searched if you're stopped?
No. You're agreeing to abide by the traffic laws.
That's a DUI check. You're agreeing to a DUI check.
To a DUI check.
At least in this state. I'm sure it's like that around the country as well. But I totally agree. Just say no to searches.
There's one last thing I want. I think it was yesterday's show where you guys asked, what's the difference between a law and a regulation?
Yeah.
Okay. It took me about 9 years to figure out exactly what the differences are.
Do tell.
The first, the law is called the statute. The statute is nothing more than Congress's intent.
Okay.
The regulation is assigned to the agency that's supposed to enforce Congress's intent. So we'll just take like OSHA. OSHA is to enforce the safety of employees.
So-called.
Okay. So Congress makes a law, says you need to protect the workers of the American working force. Now they are to take that law and make a regulation so they can implement Congress's intent. Now this is the tricky part. There's three different types of regulations.
Really?
Yes. You have interpretive, procedural, and legislative regulations. My question I wrote to all my Congress people, and you know, most of them don't answer. It goes to the Congressional Research Service.
Okay.
And I get a report back, and it details the difference.
What are the differences?
The interpretive regulation is an internal regulation to the department.
Okay. Like if you have to file this report, you have to file it here under Section A, and okay, got it.
Correct. A procedural is the exact same thing.
Okay.
Just one of them is interpreted, one of them is actual procedures written down. You know, they have taken a certain part and they actually made procedures for it.
Okay.
The last one is the legislative regulation. Now, we all know that the executive branch of government and the judicial branch of government cannot pass a law that affects the people in the private sector. Only the legislation can do that. So, which one of those regulations do we have to adhere to in the people in the private sector?
Only the legislative?
Correct. Only the legislative. Now, this is the question. How does one know by looking at the regulation on the federal level in the Code of Federal Regulations which regulation you're looking at?
You don't know.
You don't.
Yes, you do.
How?
You look at the end of the regulation. If it cites the statute from USC, United States Code, in the code section, it is a legislative regulation. If it cites anything other than the statute, which is Congress's intent, like a Treasury decision or anything else, for its authority, it is not in a legislative regulation.
So wait, how is a legislative regulation different from a law?
Well, no, the law is legislation. That's the statute.
The law is the statute.
And The regulation implements the statute.
So regulation is part of a law.
Correct. Well, you can't have a law unless you have both.
You have to have both the regulation and the statute.
See, this is the stuff they don't teach you in high school.
No, they don't.
How did you find this out?
Years and years of research.
Oh, I'm glad we could boil down your years of research into a useful 5-minute segment here on Free Talk Live.
And I try to make that as layman as possible so that everybody can understand.
I appreciate that, Paul, and thank you for the information. We really appreciate hearing from you. 1-800-259-9231. So now you know, in case you didn't know before, as though anybody actually takes the time to read the regulations, right?
No, I mean, how many people do that?
Who takes the time to do this stuff?
I certainly don't.
Especially at a federal level.
I can't read all the statutes, let alone the regulations that go with them. I don't have three lifetimes to live to read this stuff.
1-800-259-9231. All right, on the way. One of the things, the reason why we have all these regulations and laws and everything is the Republicans and Democrats. I mean, they're the ones that wrote them, right? And you've got something, Mark, about this whole two-party system thing. We're going to explore it. And your calls as well about anything you want to bring up at 800-259-9231. It is Free Talk Live.
Taking you to nonpartisan places you've never been to. And leaving you there.
Do you think the country would be better off without the two parties? I mean, if we just got rid of that little D and that little R next to the legislators' names, would the sky fall? I can see almost no downsides to something like that, and a ton of potential advantages for America.
Common Sense with Dan Carlin, the opinions of a new generation. Get the MP3 or podcast at iTunes or go to dancarlin.com.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with another Car Clinic Minute. Keys? Check. New car smell? Check. Contract? Check. You've struck your best new car deal, but I'll bet you didn't figure on this. When I come back, I'll ensure you don't miss a very important calculation. Whether it's a classic car or grandma's chocolate chip cookies, I prefer originals, like the original Scotch Shop towel. Scotch Shop towels are soft, strong, and absorbent. Don't let lookalikes fool you. The original Scotch Shop towels handle tough messes like grease and oil and are durable enough to be used again and again, wet or dry, at home or work. Buy Scotch Shop towels in the blue pop-up box or on a roll. They're an original. You just think you figure the cost of your new car, but don't put away that calculator yet. The added value of insurance could put a heavy drain on your checkbook. Vehicle color, sunroofs, stereo, and tinted windows don't count. But price, body type, rag tops, and weight compute to heavy dollars, as in hundreds every year. So tally the total cost of car ownership. Choose a vehicle, then compare rates among makes, models, and insurance companies. Since 37% of consumers interviewed plan to buy new cars within the next year, this advice will really add up. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You bring up virtually anything. Toll-free number 800-259-9231. Take control of the airwaves. Again, it's Ian here with you.
And Melissa.
And Mark.
That phone number, 1-800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything on the site is for free, including updates. You get signed up whenever there's something fresh to announce about the show. We'll clue you in via the updates list at updates.freetalklive.com. Again, that's updates www.freetalklive.com. Plus, Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project. It's your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. Again, that's freestateproject.org. We're going to talk about the two-party system, but let's talk to Kenneth first in Colorado. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Melissa, and Mark. Hello, Kenneth.
Hey, how you doing, folks?
Great. What's
up?
I'm Melissa in particular, because you always get called guys.
Thank you very much, Kenneth. I appreciate that.
I wanted to talk about the workaround with the Electoral College that the some of the states are trying to deal with.
Yeah, we talked about this on Monday night. Torgo brought this up. This idea that the California is about to pass it. Colorado has already passed it. And essentially what it says is that in a national election for the president of the United States, if the majority of the country votes for candidate X, then California's electoral votes will go to candidate X, regardless of how California's vote actually turned out.
Right, and they didn't make a big deal about that here. I just heard about it in May or June after it had happened. And I just thought it was a really horrible thing, and let me tell you why. I didn't hear anybody mention it.
All right.
The big reason why I thought it was a horrible thing is because nothing slams the door on third parties more than this. Because if you got to go to every state, there might be some state where a third party is doing really well, mm-hmm. and they're going to mention that on television or, you know, various venues.
Okay.
But if all the third parties have got 0.25% nationwide, and in 3/4 of the states they can't even get on the ballot, what does that tell you is going to happen permanently to third parties?
They're just never going to get the vote.
Never.
Never. Then it's bad enough that there's hardly any media coverage for them, but then to actually have this happen, it's a very bad idea.
And the presidential race is really their big chance at some... You know, for one talking head that calls himself a libertarian to get up there and say some libertarian things and get a little bit of pop nationwide.
So you're suggesting, and we didn't even think about this, you're right, on Monday night. You're suggesting that if, for instance, let's say the Libertarian Party gets a different strategy in their head, and this isn't probably going to happen, but they could focus on one state and maybe win one state. Maybe New Hampshire, for the purpose of showing the world that, hey, you know, there's a Libertarian Party and we exist, and look, we won this one state. But you're saying that if New Hampshire or whatever that state is has this law that we're talking about, then in that case, it wouldn't matter if that third party won, because all of the electoral votes would go to whoever won nationwide.
They probably wouldn't even follow the vote state by state. As you said, everybody'd go from big city to big city. And they'd say the same thing to every big city, because all the big cities want to hear the same thing.
They wouldn't even follow electoral votes, is what you're saying. They wouldn't even pay attention to it. There'd be no more map with the numbers on it to where everyone sees
no
who's
more
got
red states.
Right.
Blue states.
Right.
That's not the only thing I thought of. The other thing I thought of is the reason why they have to wait until they get 10 or 12 or however many it is. The reason why they have to wait is because they have to have some kind of agreement with other states to actually share that information, because otherwise there's no official channels.
What do you mean, share what?
Well, they'd have to depend on the news or something to tell them how many electoral votes there were in time to actually deal with, you know, projecting who's going to get how many votes and all that stuff. Otherwise, you got a toss up for months.
I don't really
see, right now what they
saying.
Do on election. For example, right now what they do on election night. Is
right.
After the polls close, they get an official counting. You know, they have all the exit polls and all that
right.
crap. But after that, they have an official counting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know by the counts in every state what the Electoral College votes are. But you're not going to know how any state is going to how any of those states is going to put their votes until you know what all the Electoral College sums are.
Right. What he's saying is, California, with its 60 or whatever, 55 electoral votes,
right.
There's no way for them to determine, when you're looking at the nationwide map of who voted for what and who won in what state, well, there won't be a winner in California until all the states have reported in. That's what you're saying, yes?
Yeah. Now, that said, even though it does seem to benefit big cities,
mm-hmm.
There's one way in which it benefits flyover countries.
Okay.
Colorado is one of those, and that's why I see a lot of people probably got yanked into figuring out this, you know, this is something we need to do.
How is it
because
that
basically Colorado doesn't get any campaigning unless it's going to be a pivotal state.
I see. So they're trying to make themselves more important.
I think so. I think instead what they could probably do is, you know, they have the Uniform Commercial Code and so on and so forth. States can make agreements. What they should do is agree to all have their political brouhahas on the same day.
Their political brouhahas?
Well, see, what happens right now is they go to New Hampshire and then they go to Iowa and all that stuff. They should agree to just have them all on the same day. And that way the candidates wouldn't cherry pick the state.
But do you understand why that wouldn't work though? I mean, currently Super Tuesday is that, you know, a big day. But if I was New Hampshire, for instance, and you know, everybody picked Super Tuesday, I'd pick a week ahead of that. That way, my little state would get more.
Right,
coverage.
I'm saying they have to be adults and agree to play fair.
Yeah, fair chance.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, Kenneth, I'm glad you did all that thinking because you came up with some great points that we certainly didn't make, and thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. 1-800-259-9231. So let's talk about the guys that set it all up in the first place, the Republicans and the Democrats, the two-party system. Mark, what do you got for us?
From the Denver Post, oddly enough.
Oh, convenient.
It's taken libertarians some time to figure out. For years, they've been having their pockets picked by honey-voiced Republicans vowing to end big government. Like their odd bedfellows in the Republican coalition, the religious conservatives who have waited more than 30 years for the GOP to legislate wholesomeness, the libertarians thought they had no alternatives. Surely the Republicans were better than the Democrats, but now the results are in, and inescapable. The outcome of Republican control has been everything Democrats are known for,
yep,
and libertarians profess to abhor.
And worse.
Yeah. Wasteful government spending, titanic new bureaucracies, federal intrusion into private matters, elective war, and a metastasizing of national security of the national security state.
Okay. Accurate so far.
Now that Republicans have spent a decade in charge of Congress and five controlling the White House, I don't know exactly. I guess they had the majority of the time in the White House over the last five decades.
No, he means 5 years. He didn't make that clear. That's five years.
Oh, I see.
Decade controlling Congress, 5 years in the White House.
Gotcha.
Right.
And the federal cesspool that the party vowed to drain feels like more like a cesspool than a hot tub, said Stephen Slavinsky, director of the budget studies at the Cato Institute. There gets to be a weird quote here with Slavinsky, so try to stick with.
Got it.
Republicans just don't act like the party of Goldwater or Reagan anymore, he told his fellow libertarians.
They didn't act like it back during Reagan.
No, Reagan didn't act like the party of Reagan, quite honestly.
The Reagan worship, I just don't understand.
I don't get it at all.
He increased, according to Harry Brown, he increased the size of government to something to the extent of 69%. I mean, he was...
A ridiculous amount.
He was signing all kinds of bills. 1-800-259-9231. Explore more of the two-party monopoly on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard to find all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Update your kitchen with custom cabinet refacing from Sears. Your kitchen can look like new again in about 4 to 6 days without the cost, time, or mess of totally remodeling. See for yourself. Call 1-800-300-8069 for a free design consultation. Call right now and save $500 on select styles. Sears offers over 100 door and drawer combinations to suit any budget and style. And best of all, with Sears, your satisfaction is guaranteed. So don't replace your kitchen cabinets, reface them. Call Sears at 1-800-300-8069 and save $500 on select styles. Offer ends 9/30/06. License number available upon request, not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. Custom cabinet refacing from Sears. Call 1-800-300-8069. Call now at 1-800-300-8069.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding the bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal. The Bill of Rights is a term for the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, limiting the federal government's power and preserving the rights of the people. Each day, we gradually lose these rights that we are entitled to. We need to take a stand to let the government know that we are tired of losing these rights. Today, you can take this stand. Express your beliefs by wearing a new and innovative t-shirt available only through GCN. Each shirt is black with a redesign of the famous Don't Tread on Me Gadsden flag located on the front of the shirt. On the back is the Bill of Rights, printed in bold white text. Each shirt is $22 shipped to you and only $15 for each additional shirt. PayPal users, please send payment to liberties77@yahoo.com. That's LIBERTES77@yahoo.com. For questions, call 479-774-8264. That's 479-774-8264. For additional information, including images of this shirt, please visit www.gcnlive.com today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. It is your show, and you bring up whatever you want. Toll-free number, 1-800-259-9231. Again, that's 800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Melissa.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, where we have the wiki. wiki.freetalklive.com is where you will find a bunch of content created by the listeners, like you. In fact, you could go in there and register for free, and then you can edit virtually anything that you see on the wiki. It's all up to you. You can create brand new pages, whole new sections. I mean, it is totally user editable.
Isn't there like over 700 pages
over
on there right now?
Over 750 pages. Yep.
That's insane.
At wiki.freetalklive.com. Lots of information about the show and all kinds of different stuff. Wiki.freetalklive.com. You want to talk about decentralization, and the wiki is a perfect example of it. All right, so we're talking about the two-party system, and you're getting this from the Denver Post, I believe?
That's correct.
The author has pointed out that the Republicans have been in control now of Congress for an entire decade, over a decade. They've been in control of the presidency for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and so you would think that we would have ourselves some small government at this point.
Right. I mean, they tell the libertarians among us that they're the party of small government.
But
and
the statistics say otherwise.
Not so much.
It
yeah.
is obvious that the Republicans have increased the size of government. In fact, at a clip that Bill Clinton could have only dreamed of. Yes, they've actually increased the size of government faster than during the Clinton administration.
Amazingly, this next paragraph is sort of a quote from Bill Clinton. According to Slavinsky, and he's the
Cato guy.
The Cato guy. He's okay. the director of budget studies from the Cato Institute.
Got it.
The era of big government isn't over, as Bill Clinton once professed. It's been replaced by something far, far worse. The era of supersized government. And for that, we have the Republicans to thank. Mm-hmm. Slavinsky is a bright young economist, a Floridian who's cut his intellectual teeth at the Cato Institute, George Mason University, the Goldwater Institute in Phoenix. His political hero is Barry Goldwater, the late Arizona senator, Republican presidential candidate, and conservative pundit. Slavinsky's new book,
buck wild how Republicans broke the bank and became the party of big government is the worst kind of news for Republican strategists hoping to spur free-thinking conservatives to the polls this fall. Buckwild makes a compelling case that the best protection for individual rights and wallets in the in America rests in divided government, and that the best thing voters can do to take Congress or the White House away from the Republicans is and then give it to the Democrats. So he believes that it should be divided, like the White House should be a Republican or a Democrat, and then it should be the opposite.
Vice versa. That's
not the best thing that can happen at all. That's what's been happening.
That's exactly what happened.
That's what happened with Reagan in the office, and that's what happened with Clinton in the office. There was a Republican Congress during a lot of Clinton years, and there was a Democratic Congress during a lot of Reagan years. And what did we get? We got compromise. We got bigger government. Period. Well, okay, it didn't grow as fast as it grew under all Republican control, and nor would it grow as fast under all Democrat control, or nor would a clashing government grow as fast under an all Democrat control versus Republican control. It's going to be bigger government because when you pit them against each other, they just make deals. Then it's just back scratching or log rolling, as I believe Jim Babka has called it from downsizedc.org, where if I'm the Democratic senator and you're the Republican senator, we meet together and say, Mark, I know you really want to get this this bill through that that helps the automotive industry. I really want to get this bill through that that helps out poor people or whatever the claim is.
The
environment. Look, you vote for my bill, I'll vote for you your bill. And we're good to go. Except it's on a wider basis. They schmooze with one another. They pass favors around. And what he's talking about here is not going to do anything to stem the size of government.
It's not going to make it... It's certainly... His only claim is that it slows the growth of government. And
great.
I've heard people make this claim.
But he says it's the best option.
Well, that's somebody who's thrown in the towel.
He's given up.
I guess. I mean, or, you know, he wants to sell a book.
But is that what a lot of Americans are doing, just throwing in the towel at this point?
I think a lot of Americans do agree with this particular sentiment. My grandmother once stated it to me, that she didn't think that either party could be trusted. I think that she only voted Republican her entire life. But that it's best to have a mixed system like this.
Also,
and it's funny what you remember from your childhood. But
yeah, it is.
Also, you can sit there and say, well, it's best to have them clashing. It's best to have a mixed system. But there's no way to predict what's going to happen.
Very difficult.
You can't go into the polls and organize with every other voter out there, okay, now we want to have a mixed system, so all of you vote for the Democrats and we'll vote for the Republicans and it'll come out totally mixed when we're all said and done. No, you don't know at the end of the day what the results are going to be. There's no way to predict it and there's no way to organize it. So it's a crapshoot.
I would have to agree. Let him make his case, though. Here.
All right.
Given Slavinsky argues that given complete control, the GOP has failed. The party that embraced expediency of Richard Nixon and climbed under the sheets with the venal special interest groups and corrupt lobbyists, like the corrupt political machines of the late 19th and 20th centuries, he says, the party's overarching purpose is now self-perpetuation, whatever the cost.
Mm.
Cutting government spending now runs contrary to the Republican political aims, Slavinsky writes. Today, the GOP is so closely aligned with the mechanisms of big government that it finds itself unable and unwilling to shut the contraption down.
It believes, not only is it unable and unwilling, but some of them apparently actually believe they have cut it back as far as they can go. Remember, there was a quote we read from, I think it was Tom Daschle or something, I don't remember.
Daschle,
they all meld together for me. One of these Republican guys, the House Majority Whip or whatever.
I think Daschle's actually a Democrat.
Whatever.
Yeah,
the Republican guy who's a big dude in Congress. He got out and said, this is it! We've cut it back as far as it can go! Thank goodness Republicans are in charge. And I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he essentially said, that's it.
Yep, we cut it back as far as we could. We've cut it to the bone.
Yeah, to the bone. In fact, he used that term, I believe.
Ridiculous. I mean, crazy.
Does he really believe that? Can he really possibly believe the words coming out of his own mouth?
I think that they're beyond that that particular state.
Amazing.
As an economist, Slavinsky has a ready sheaf of numbers at hand. After adjusting the total growth of the federal budget by length of time in office and inflation, George W. Bush is the biggest spending full-term president since Lyndon B. Johnson.
Wow. Well, we knew that.
The guy who created the Great Society, who created welfare.
Lyndon B. Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he created welfare.
He created welfare.
I thought that was FDR.
No, FDR created work programs.
Okay.
Johnson gave money to people who didn't work, but FDR gave money people who did.
Understood.
In Bush's presidency, so far, the federal budget has grown by 27% after adjusting for inflation, which, of course, is mostly Bush's policy, too.
Yeah.
What's more, that's more than twice as fast as during the 8 years of the Clinton presidency. The growth in big-ticket entitlement spending was 4.1% under Jimmy Carter, 3.3% under Bill Clinton, and 5.1% under Bush.
Wow.
Bush spent more than Carter or Clinton.
Yep.
Okay. How about Pentagon pork? Real defense spending is higher today, $440 billion, than it was during the high point of the Reagan defense buildup. That's almost $400 billion. So 10% higher.
Mm-hmm.
And more than Johnson's largest Vietnam War defense budget at $421. So 5% higher than that. Wait, you say, there's a war on terror, but only 15% of the defense spending has spending since September 11 has gone to fighting terrorism, including the cost in the Iraq, in Iraq, Slavinsky notes.
Where'd the other 85%
Where's the rest
go?
Of it going?
I can't answer the question. That's
right.
What he says.
Wow.
You know, he's a Cato guy. He plays with numbers all day long. You can
had to buy more tanks.
You can choose to believe him or not believe him.
Okay.
There are certainly are. We are in 130 nations around the world. We have to keep those going.
Right.
We have, you know.
Need more boots.
Yeah, we need more everything.
Got it.
Now they have all the more stuff to buy these soldiers, too.
Okay.
All of them have body armor. You didn't have that in World War II.
Right.
And even after entitlement, defense, and homeland security spending are removed from the equation, the growth of federal spending in the Bush years, 4.5%, exceeds that of the Johnson at 4.1%, Carter at 1.6%, or Clinton at 2.1%.
Man, I mean, placed on that scale, Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton seem like small government conservatives.
Yeah, they really do. One reason is earmarks, those porky, oftentimes hidden little clauses in appropriation bills that members of Congress use to promote home states like Alaska's dubious bridge to nowhere. The last Democratic Congress, the number of earmarks was 1,400, says Slavinsky. Today it's over 15,000.
And no one is doing anything to slow the growth of government down. More on the way. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live.
By now, it is no surprise that the U.S. ranks 37th in the world in occurrence of chronic illness, according to the World Health Organization. Due to modern farming and food processing practices, our food supply has become nutrition deficient, deficient in nutrients essential to good health. It is time to take back your health. Everyone has the right to good health. Join the self-reliant families, entrepreneurs, and the company pioneering cutting-edge glyconutrient technology. The wellness revolution is projected to be a $1 trillion industry by 2010. We are looking for people who are serious about bettering their lives and the lives of the people they love. Better health is possible. To learn more, go to therighttogoodhealth.com. You have the right to decide what is attainable in your lifetime. You have the right to build a healthy lifestyle that you can share with your friends and family. You have the right to achieve self-reliance and financial independence. And you have the right to good health. Visit therighttogoodhealth.com.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
When my son started having behavior problems, the Total Transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Do you need an instruction manual for your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance and backtalking. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and we're in the remaining moments of the show. But still enough time for your call if you make it now at 800-259-9231. That is 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Melissa.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The Amplifier program is there. You go to amp.freetalklive.com to learn more about it. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And the idea is that we give you everything on our website for free, which is kind of not what anyone else does. I mean, it's a reverse business model, essentially, of what every other talk show does. That every other talk show says, well, you can come on our website and pay us $5, $6, or $7 a month to get our archives and all of our other special features.
Special sections and all that stuff.
Which really, in my opinion, isn't as special as what we give away for free. And we give everything away for free. The archives, bulletin board system, wiki, it's all there. It's all on the house.
Trying to feed my listeners.
And so what we ask in return is that you voluntarily join the AMP program, as over 280 of our listeners have done. You go to amp.freetalklive.com. You'll learn about some of the benefits, and you'll learn about the perks. You get access to classic archives. You get access to the Amplifier-only phone lines, Amplifier-only forum as well. So there's a few exclusives that you get, but the real purpose is to help spread Free Talk Live, to help get the message of freedom and liberty on as many radio stations as possible. That's the idea. We take $3 a month. That's all we're asking. Three a month from you. We take it in. We turn it around. We buy radio industry advertising. We buy internet advertising. We bring more people to the message of freedom and liberty. And if that's important to you, then you should go to amp.freetalklive.com and get on board with the Amplifier program. Again, that's amp.freetalklive.com. So we're talking about, we're talking about the two-party system.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's an article from the Denver Post. And the guy who's talking about this, Cato guy, Slavinsky, is proposing that the best way to have the slowest growth in Washington, D.C. is to have a mixed White House and Congress.
He's pointing out statistics about how George W. Bush, being with an entire majority Republican Congress, has been able to just grow the government at a clip that Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton could only dream of.
Right. It says here that earmarks, which are, the way that Washington spends all of its pork, was 1,400 people in the last Democratic Congress. But today it's over 15,000. That's,
1,400 people?
Excuse me, 1,400 earmarks. Excuse me.
Per year? Is that per year?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Wow.
1,400 annually up to 15,000 annually?
Wait, when did it go from 1,400 to 15,000?
Last Democratic Congress. I can't tell you when that is.
Okay.
I believe that was in
early 90s,
when the
Republicans took over in 94, didn't they?
It sounds right to me.
Okay.
Okay. Republicans have actually become more promiscuous than Democrats when it comes to earmarks, Levinsky said. They've become cogs in the big government machine. Washington is most restrained, military and fiscally, when power is divided among the parties, Levinsky argues. The course of American history, the country has more frequently gone to war under one-party government, and united government gives us government that grows twice as fast.
Mm-hmm.
One need look no further than back in 1994 when the Republicans captured the House of Representatives and lay siege to Clinton's Oval Office. A divided Washington cut the government's share of the gross domestic product from 20.7% to 18.4%.
Okay, so he's right. He's right. The government grows faster when everybody's all one party. True. But it still grows pretty darn quick the other way anyway. This is not a solution.
It's still growing.
This isn't a solution. It's just an excuse for him to publish some numbers, some interesting numbers.
And everybody's got to make their money.
Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Joe in Massachusetts. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Melissa, and Mark.
Hi, guys. I'd like to welcome that new lady that's on today.
Thank you.
Well, now, she's new to you, Joe, but actually this is her last night on the show, believe it or not.
Yes, it is.
She's leaving?
Yeah, she's leaving. We're gearing up to move up to New Hampshire here within the next few weeks, sometime this summer. So she's bailing out, going back to work and keeping busy. But
She isn't going up to New Hampshire with you guys.
She will be eventually.
Eventually, just not, not right away.
Okay, what's her name?
It's Melissa.
Melissa, okay, yeah. I wanted to talk a little more about immigration and ask you guys a few questions. You told me to call last night. How would you deal with the airline industry? We do need some safety, but the National Transportation of Safety Board, and you can't do this, and the FAA. I've heard some of the libertarians say they would remove all those organizations.
Are we talking about the FAA or are we talking about immigration?
Well, both. First of all, I said that it's not that I'm against immigration, but right now we have too much. I think I would make it harder, like Switzerland, to immigrate to this country. I would make this country a neutral country.
I'll answer that. Well, let's go ahead and take care of this FAA thing. I personally think we absolutely should get the federal government out of the airline business, allow airlines to compete for price and service and security, let the airlines decide what level of security they want, and the FAA could very easily be replaced by state agencies doing the same sort of a job or private airports and air traffic controllers and that sort of thing.
Is that what happened before the FAA got in? ValueJet was the airlines had their own security and it wasn't done right, so now the government's supposed
to... No, the government's been involved with security. Airports have been run by governments for a long time. Governments had been hiring private security for their airports, but that was government hired private security, not privately hired private security. Does that make sense?
Oh yes.
They changed it from government hired private security to TSA. To the federal government security.
Well, why has it gone downhill since the 60s? The airlines were better. They used to have Eastern. They had good food and all that. Now it's like a
regulation.
Because the prices have gone, got more competitive, too. The regulation is definitely a factor.
Oh, I see. So would you still keep safety regulations and, like, you can't talk in the cockpit before? Let's say you're sitting out on the runway. They call it a sterile cockpit. I think that's stupid. You should be warning. You should be told, recommended that you pay attention, but not that you can't talk before you reach tech 5 or 10,000 feet or something like that.
Now, Joe, what you're talking about here is just safety rules. They don't have to be regulations. They don't have to be the government enforcing them. The airlines have a real interest in keeping themselves safe. I mean, you don't want to be known as the airline that crashes every few days.
That's right.
So the airlines are going to institute their own safety rules, and that's something that they can easily handle.
The government instituted this new FAA sterile cockpit policy now.
The problem with government, Joe, is it's a one-size-fits-all solution. Everything they come up with, they try to just shove it onto every airplane and every airline company, and they might not all work the same way. Their solution might not fit right for one company. One company may want to tweak things. They may want to do something a little bit differently, but the government won't allow them to experiment.
The reason we can't hire you is because you can't see and you couldn't help. I spoke to one of the Israeli flight attendants. He said there's a lot of things you could do in this industry. You could work in maintenance. You could even help with the cabin crew, do a lot of things.
You could take reservations.
Yeah.
Or other things. Yeah, a lot of things. Yeah, but...
So let's jump now. Now we've talked about airlines. You said you wanted to talk immigration.
Yeah. Right now, I'd say stop immigration because our country's out of control.
That's nice to say, Joe, but it's impossible.
They haven't managed to stop it now.
slow it down.
Have they stopped drugs?
No.
Have they slowed them down?
No. But how do? But do we, do you agree we should close our borders for a while?
No, I don't agree at all. What I
you
think
do, Melissa?
We,
well, no, not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
What we need to do, Joe, is end welfare. We need to get the government out of the handout business. Allow private charities to step in and actually help people that actually need help.
Like me, if they will.
That's right.
See, it's
and
so hard for me. It's
because
so
people care, okay? If you don't believe that people don't care, then you can't believe that government cares either. So, anyway, so we end welfare, which ends the incentive for people that are looking for a handout. They won't come here looking for a handout anymore because they know they won't be able to get it. And therefore, we can open the borders and allow anybody who wants to come into this country come here and make a better life for themselves.
Okay, but what about the bad people that are coming over, the low-wage labor and the, all the problems?
Those aren't bad. There's nothing wrong with people that want to work for less.
No,
those aren't
but
bad
I mean,
people.
No, but see, I agree with you to a point. I have a problem with that. See, I have never been in a position where I've been around a lot of good, caring people, but that's beside the point. I see your point in theory, but I say we should do that. The first thing I agree with you on, I say for a while, stop immigration.
It's make not this possible, Joe.
You just can't
just
stop
because
it.
You can imagine it happening doesn't mean it. The government can make it come true for you.
Well, how did Switzerland do it? They stopped it.
I don't know if that's the case.
I don't know if people badly want to get into Switzerland
so
badly.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that situation.
I'm not sure that they are right next door to a country that's significantly poorer than they are
either. I talked to someone that went there. He said you can no longer emigrate to Sweden or Switzerland.
It's apples and oranges.
Immigrating is a different story. Immigrating has that kind of sound of doing it legally, you know?
Yeah. Well, they are no longer letting people move in legally. I mean,
well,
you can visit.
That's retarded on their part because it's just going to stagnate their economy. The more people we can bring into our economy, the stronger it's going to be. And, Joe, the idea of keeping somebody out at gunpoint sounds a little un-American to me. You really should rethink that. And thank you for the call. We appreciate it as always. It has been Ian here with you.
And Melissa.
And Mark.
And so, Melissa, you hopefully will be returning perhaps one of these days, maybe up in New Hampshire. Because this is your second run on the show. You have been on in the past. You've stopped for a while,
have.
And then you've come back. So hopefully we'll see you again.
Melissa. You could probably catch some archives of me on the DVD set if go to shop.freetalklive.com.
It's actually store.freetalklive.com. But you are definitely on the six-disc DVD set, which is on sale right now, pre-order sale. Melissa, as always, thank you for coming in with us.
Thank
and
you.
Contributing to the show. We will continue things tomorrow night online, same place, freetalklive.com. See ya.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offered both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.